The more critical a person is, the more you know they fear disapproval. The more attacking someone is, they're always putting everybody else down, the more you know that person fears disapproval, because that's the way it shows up. The more I fear disapproval in my life, the more I'm going to point at other people and all what they're doing wrong.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called Transformed. In these lessons, Rick uncovers key principles found in God's Word that will completely transform our lives from the inside out in every area, including spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. Now, if you can improve in any of the areas I just mentioned, stay with us, because in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can have your very own Transformed Study Kit from Pastor Rick, which includes a 7-session DVD and workbook. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen. If you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Facing the Fears That Ruin Relationships.
Fear always causes us to hide. I wonder what you're hiding from today because of fear. What are you pretending not to know? What are you pretending isn't a problem in your marriage? What are you pretending isn't a problem in your life? What are you pretending is not a problem in your relationships because you are afraid of facing the truth? God doesn't want you to fake it. He wants you to face it when it comes to fear. What are you pretending not to know? I was afraid and I hid. Now also circle the word or the phrase, I was naked. I was naked. What does it mean to be naked? Well, he's talking about more here than just physical nakedness. There's an emotional nakedness too. To be naked means to be exposed. It means to be uncovered. It means to be vulnerable. It means to be authentic. It means you're out in the open. It means you are unprotected. You are never more vulnerable than when you're naked. I mean, it's just all out there. There's nothing to hide. And when we are afraid of nakedness, when we're afraid of vulnerability, when we're afraid of being open, we're afraid of being honest, we're afraid of letting people see us as we really are, my fear of exposure makes me distant. You see, one of your deepest needs is to be loved, but one of your deepest fears is the fear of being seen for what you really are. And you can live with a husband or a wife for 50 years and keep secrets from them because you're afraid that they would not accept that part of your life. Living with somebody doesn't guarantee that they're seeing all of you, because they're not. Now, I want you to notice the damage that fear does to a relationship, because there are three stages, and we see all three of them here in this. The first phase is shame. You might write that down, shame. It's verse 7. Once they disobeyed God, the first thing that entered their relationship was shame. And when you disobey God, shame enters your relationships. It says they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. Fear is often based in shame. Now, when you carry shame, you are easily embarrassed. When you carry shame, you fear embarrassment almost more than anything else. And you will do almost anything in your life to avoid embarrassment. That is a symptom that you're carrying unresolved shame in your life. Shame makes me more self-conscious. Shame makes me nervous, more nervous. Shame makes me fearful of being humiliated. And I'm going to avoid that at all costs. Shame means I am easily mortified. Because if you have any of those things in your life, it means there's some shame you haven't given to God and let Him take it away in your life. Phase one is they felt shame. Phase two is the cover-up. The cover-up. And what happens is when we feel ashamed, we try to conceal who we really are, our true selves. Verse 7b says, so they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves up or to cover up themselves. Now, if you've ever seen a fig leaf, they're not very big. Some of us, it'd take a lot of fig leaves to cover us.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, I'd like to connect you with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word daily to 99000. Again, that's the word daily to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
You know, the world is shouting for our attention. They're offering answers to our relationship struggles, solutions to our financial trouble, and explanations to our search for meaning. But the world's promises leave us empty and searching for more. God's Word contains the only answers that promise to transform your life from the inside out. That's why Pastor Rick has put together the Transformed Study Kit, which includes a leather-bound interactive workbook and a 7-session DVD. This powerful resource can be used independently or with a small group of friends to uncover key biblical principles that will completely transform your life in every area, including spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. The Transform Study Kit is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word daily to 99000. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome study tool, so contact us today. Thanks so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Verse 7b says, "So they sowed fig leaves to cover themselves up," or to cover up themselves. Now, if you've ever seen a fig leaf, they're not very big. Some of us, it'd take a lot of fig leaves to cover us. Okay. Now, today, we all have much more sophisticated ways of covering up who we really are. We don't have to use fig leaves anymore, but we do it all the time. I wonder what ways you use to cover up your fears, your insecurities. What ways do you cover them up? Some people use humor, and they're the class clown, but they don't let anybody get close to them. They don't let anybody get close to them. And they use humor. Maybe you try to cover up your insecurities by presenting an image that you're all put together. I mean, you got the right clothes, you got the right accessory, you got the right hair, you drive the right car, you say the right things, you use the right words, and you give this image that you're all put together, but you're not. You're not. You don't have it all together. You don't have it all together in any sense of the word. But you try to present this image. Why? Out of fear. Today, a lot of people hide behind an online image. And if you read their Facebook, their life is perfect. And if you read their Instagram, they have nothing but fun and everybody wants to date them. And they are so cool. Stop pretending you've got a perfect life on social media. You're just faking it, and it's revealing the fears in your life. There's a third phase. We move from shame to cover up, and the third phase is distance from God. And that's verse 8. It says, "Then they hid from God among the trees." Years ago, there was a guy named John, I can't remember his last name, but he wrote a book called "Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am?" It's a good question. Why am I afraid to tell you who I am? And the answer to that question was, the reason I'm afraid to tell you who I am is because you might not like who I am. And if I share who I really am, not what I'm pretending to be, if I share who I really am and you don't accept me, it's tough luck. I'm up a creek without a paddle. So there's no way I'm going to let you going to see the real me, because you might reject it. They hid from God among the trees. And this causes us now to not only be disconnected from other people, and that's why we have relationships problems with others, but we're disconnected from God, which is why we have a relationship problem with God. And we not only start fearing other people, we start fearing God. out of shame. God doesn't expect you to be perfect, but he does expect you to be honest. So the first fear is this fear of being exposed, and that causes me to be distant. The second fear we see in Adam and Eve is the fear of disapproval. And my fear of disapproval makes me defensive. My fear of disapproval makes me defensive. You see, now we move from simply hiding and running and covering up to now being defensive, and we start attacking other people back. We're not just hiding, we're now hurling. We're not just excusing ourselves, we're accusing others. And in this stage now, when I have this fear of disapproval, I start pointing fingers at everybody else. And you hear people say, but you did that. You did this, but you did that. But you did this, but you did that. But you did this, but you did that. That's moving from hiding to hurling, from excusing to accusing. The more critical a person is, the more you know they fear disapproval. I'll say that again. The more critical, the more perfectionistic, the more attacking someone is, they're always putting everybody else down, the more you know that person fears disapproval, because that's the way it shows up. The more I fear disapproval in my life, the more I'm going to point at other people and all what they're doing wrong. So you see these commentators and preachers and other people who are always pointing out the wrong of everybody else, they are afraid of being disapproved of themselves. It's coming out, that judgmentalism. We see this in verse 12. God asked, did you eat what I told you not to eat? Adam answered, you gave me this woman, and she gave me the fruit. Adam took it like a man. He blamed his wife. And in fact, he's not even blaming his wife as much. He's blaming God. You gave me this woman. You know, if you hadn't made this woman, you and me, God, we'd be like this. It's all my wife's fault. I'd really be close to you, God, if it weren't for that wife. That woman, she seduced me. She got me all messed up. And so God, Adam is blaming not only Eve, he's blaming God for his choice. He's passing the responsibility. Now, you've heard me say many times, you spell blame, be lame. And Adam is being lame here. Now, sorry, ladies, but Eve wasn't any more willing to accept responsibility. She doesn't show up either. She doesn't woman up to this. Genesis 3:13, then Eve said, the snake tricked me into eating. So Adam blames his wife, and Eve blames a snake. Great. My fear of disapproval makes me defensive. And this happens in your marriage and in your relationships all the time. If anybody says anything that you feel, your wife says something to you that you feel is a hint of disapproval, you immediately get defensive. You immediately get defensive. And you either explain it, or you attack back, or you accuse or excuse, or you say something catty or whatever. My fear of exposure makes me distant, and my fear of disapproval makes me defensive. But there's a third fear we see in Adam and Eve, and it's the fear of losing control. And my fear of losing control makes me demanding. My fear of losing control makes me demanding. You see, the result of Adam and Eve's sin is they lost control. They lost control of everything. They lost control of their future. They lost control of their destiny. They got kicked out of paradise, and now they're feeling totally out of control because they weren't controlling anything at this point. And in this situation, my fear of losing control makes me demanding. Now, let me just say it this way. The more out of control you feel, the more controlling you become. The more out of control I feel, the more controlling I become. I start bossing everybody around. I start making demands. I start protecting myself. I start defending, demanding, demeaning. I start dominating. The more insecure you are, the greater you have a need to get your way. If you're a very secure person, you don't need to have your way all the time. You don't. Doesn't bother you. You don't have to have your way all the time because you're secure. But if you're insecure, then you really have to have your way all the time. And you fight for your way, and you push for your way, and you control your way. The more out of control you feel, the more controlling you become. Now, this happens in verse 16, where God says to Eve, you'll have yearnings for your husband. In other words, you're going to love your husband, even though you both messed up, but he will lord it over you. The Berkeley version says he will dominate you. And this is where the war of the sexes began. Right there. And all the misunderstanding between men and women, between husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, all the confusion, all the conflict, all the jockeying for power and position, all of the tit for tat, all of this for that, all of the, you know, bargaining and who's going to be in control of this and who's going to run this, and that's all goes back to this situation here, sin. It's not a whole lot of fun to be in that kind of a relationship, where you're not cooperating, but you're competing with each other. Would you like to move from competition to cooperation in your marriage, where you're not fighting each other, but you're fighting together against other things? You're on the same team. How do you do that? What is the antidote that transforms the relationship, that relieves these three fears, the fear of exposure and the fear of disapproval and the fear of losing control, that causes me to be distant and defensive and demanding in relationships? There's only one antidote to the fears. It is love. Love. Write this down. Learn to live in God's love. That is the antidote. I must learn to live in God's love. Now notice this verse, 1 John 4:18. First half of the verse says this: wherever God's love is, wherever God's love is, there is no fear. Circle that, no fear. So you want to get rid of fear in a relationship? You got to get God's love there. You want to get rid of fear in your career? Get God's love there. You want to get God's fear out of your education or in your sports or whatever? You got to get God's love there. Wherever God's love is, there is no fear. Why? Because God's perfect love drives out all fear. You see, the opposite of fear is not faith. The opposite of fear is love. When you invite God's love into the front door of your heart, and last week we talked about your heart as the center of your emotions, when you ask God's love into your heart, the front door, fear goes out the back door, because fear and love can't live in the same house. When you let fear in the front door of your house, love goes out the back door. Whenever you are afraid, you are not being loving. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Why is it that people will stand and watch a fire burning a building down, and everyone's afraid to go in, but somebody runs in, and it's the mother going in to get the baby? Why? Because fear is overcome by love. And the love is greater than the fear. So, learn to live in God's love. You see, this is the result of fear. Notice the second part of that verse, 1 John 4:18b. It's the thought of punishment that makes a person fearful. What is the thought of punishment? You're thinking about the negative consequences. How many times have you been afraid to tell the truth because of the consequences? How many times have you been afraid to be yourself because of the consequences? How many times you've gone to a party or gone on a date and you didn't want to say what you really believed because of the fear of the consequences, the punishment you would receive? How many times, if you had a friend and you knew something was wrong in their life and you tell them almost all the truth, but you save back the last 10%, which will make the difference? And you hold back. So many times we hold back the last 10% from somebody because we're afraid we're going to hurt their feelings and then they're going to reject us. And we're really doing it out of fear. We don't want to share the last 10%. It is the thought of punishment or negative consequences that makes a person fearful. So how do I learn to live in God's love? You do three things. And if you'll do these three things, it will transform your relationships. These things will transform. Really, there are three daily choices. Every day I surrender, every day I remember, and every day I offer. And if I do these three things, and if you will do these three things, you will transform your relationship. You may have been married 40 years. It'll still transform your relationship. Number one, how do I learn to live in God's love? Every day, surrender my heart to God. Every day, surrender my heart to God. Now, last week when we were talking about emotions, we said the heart is the symbol of the center of your emotions. And so what you do is in the morning when you wake up, you sit on the side of your bed and you say, God, before I even start this day, I surrender the center of my emotions to you. God, I want you to be Lord of my feelings, Lord of my emotions. God, I want you to control my mind and control my emotions, my mind and my heart. And I surrender it to you. And I want you to fill me with your love. Now, why? Because God is love. The closer you get to God, the more love will fill your heart.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Or download the Pastor Rick's Daily Hope podcast to your smartphone or tablet so you can listen on the go anywhere you are. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. You know, the world is shouting for our attention with answers to our relationship struggles, solutions to our financial troubles, and explanations to our search for meaning. But the world's promises leave us empty and searching for more. God's Word contains the only answers that promise to transform your life from the inside out. That's why Pastor Rick has put together the Transform Study Kit, which includes a leather-bound interactive workbook and a 7-video session DVD. The video sessions can be used independently or with a small group of friends. This kit will help uncover key biblical principles that will completely transform your life in every area, including spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. The Transform Study Kit is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this amazing study tool, or you can call 800-600-5004. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks so much for your support. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome study tool, so contact us today. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with some closing thoughts.
I love the letters that you send to me. Here's one from a guy named Mike. He says he's learning so much from Daily Hope that he wants to pass it on to others. And here's what he writes. Rick, I've been reading Daily Hope devotional since 2009. I started listening to the Daily Hope audio teachings daily, and sometimes I listen to 3 or 4 per day. Wow, Mike. He says, with the cup of coffee in my hand and Daily Hope in my ear at the beginning of every day, I just feel uplifted. You know, oftentimes I'm pretty convicted, but I always come away knowing that my Father in heaven loves me. Mike writes, you know, last September, after listening to your daily messages on the 40 Days of Love series, I ordered that series, and I have listened to it 6 or 7 times. Every time I listen to each CD, he says, I pick up another golden nugget of information. I am so impressed with all the truth in this series that I'm going to be ordering a series for each of my children and a special friend of mine that's Christian, but because of her upbringing, is having difficulty understanding the love that God has for her. You know, part of your relationship with Jesus is being able to tell your life story to others, to let them know how God has transformed your life. Did you know that when you share your story of transformation and hope, other people get blessed as well? So tell somebody today about God's work in your life. I want you to just think about this. Who could you tell your story to today? Just think about that and then do it. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Daily Hope.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.